Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. Today's show is a rebroadcast from May 5th, 2022. I had a conversation with Birdland Jazz Club and Birdland Theater manager partner Ryan Patternight and Senior Vice President of Marketing for Fly Machine, Jason Feinberg. Birdland and Fly Machine are now collaborating in a pioneering virtual venue space for live entertainment. We'll start off today's show with music. Thank you. From German pianist and composer Jutta Hipp's 1956 Blue Note release with saxophonist Zoot Sims, we heard the tune We Dot by trombonist J.J. Johnson. Before that, from pianist and bandleader Helen Sung, heard with a string quartet and rhythm quartet on Kaleidoscope by pianist Marion McPartland. This is from her Sunnyside Records release of last year, Quartet Plus. And a selection from A Stone's Throw Away by Montreal, Quebec, Canada-based guitarist and educator Ron Ledoux from his first release that came out in January. The selection was Noted in Blue. Paul Schroffel on keyboards, Gilbert Jonas on bass, and Rich Irwin on drums. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com, info@wgxc.org, feedback@wgxc.org, or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hey, Ryan.
How are you?
I'm good. How's that puppy?
Yeah, it's Mickey. She's good. She likes to sit next to me all day.
Oh, and here comes Mr. Feinberg. Here he comes. Ah, Mr. Hello. Feinberg. Hello.
Hello.
I'm assuming you two have met.
I don't think so, no.
Oh, yeah, seriously?
Emails.
Yeah.
Not directly, yeah.
Wow. And to think I brought you two together, it's meaningful to me.
That's the way it goes these days. To us. Thank you.
My guests are Ryan Patternite, the managing partner of Birdland Jazz Club and Birdland Theater in New York City, and Jason Feinberg, senior vice president of marketing of Fly Machine, a pioneering virtual venue space for live entertainment. So I want to thank you both for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
So why don't we start off with the question of, what events necessitated the collaboration between Birdland and Fly Machine? Ryan, would you like to start off?
Yeah, we at Birdland, we started streaming shows during the, the lockdown phase of COVID. But at the time, nobody was open and artists weren't performing. So it was a bit of a novelty. And we were looking for ways to continue that. And we were recording shows and then editing them and adding title sequences. And it was more of a pre-packaged production. It wasn't a live stream per se, although the delivery to the viewers was ultimately streaming. And then I have some very old friends, Tom Ewald and Ali McLeod and Andrew Dreskin, who's the founder of Fly Machine, also was the founder of Ticketfly and Ticketweb, I think. And so I've known and worked with them for years. I was a founding client in Ticketfly. So when they launched this new venture, I said, that sounds like some people that I want to work with. Little did I know the technology they had developed, which is pretty interesting.
And Jason.
I mean, from our vantage point, we are so excited to work with venues across the country. And one of the most legendary, of course, Birdland. How could we not be excited about that? And what our platform is really focused on is enabling shared experiences and community over a virtual event. And there's hardly any community more connected and excited to be together than the jazz community and you know, similar genres. And then the spirit of that, you know, seeing the audience and the affinity for Birdland and the connectivity there, it's such a natural fit for the experience that we try to bring. So, you know, it was a no-brainer from our side, that's for sure. Mm.
So, Ryan, how does one purchase a virtual ticket through the Birdland website?
Our website is birdlandjazz.com, and in our list of events, which is the calendar section, all of the virtual events are listed, and those will take you to Fly Machine to buy a ticket. And there are individual links to each of the shows as well. It's usually fly.live/whatever the artist name is. For example, we're streaming a show with Bill Charlap next week, and that's fly.live/Charlap.
Cool. Jason, let me ask you about this since you are part of Fly Machine. What happens when you've entered a virtual performance at Birdland? Is there a pre-recorded voice that welcomes me and tells me who's performing?
There's a few ways that can go. When you first log in, we give you a quick tutorial video about just using the product and what you're in for, how to connect with other fans, if you want to create a private experience for you to watch with your friends or family. Once you get past that and you're actually in the venue, you're seeing what is being broadcast from the venue. And there's a lot of options there. You could simply see the audience waiting and sort of the energy in the room building, or you could see a pre-roll material. So if there were any videos that wanted to be played leading into the performance, that's something that can also happen. So it's really a very flexible experience, just depending on the artist that night and then what Birdland wants to project as far as the evening.
Okay. Now, I want to be close to the stage, or I want to be closer to the bar so I can get my drinks quicker. Are there different seatings in a virtual room?
So there's yes and no. It really comes down to Ryan and the great production team at the club, right? The angles, the camera work that's happening for the broadcast. In regards to the quote-unquote seating within the Fly Machine platform, there's a few ways it can happen. If you simply log in and you start watching the show, the entire interface fades away and you're just watching this beautifully produced live stream. But if you want to join a public room or a private room to watch with other fans or friends and family, now you're seeing on the screen at the same time the video of the people you're watching with. And so you're sort of almost sitting at a table, so to speak, with them in the corner of the screen while the rest of the screen is the live performance. And so as the camera angles switch, you're getting that really optimal view. So you kind of get it all. You get up close as if you're almost on the stage. You get back of the room so you can see the entire venue. And then anything else that the producers that night decide is a really high quality look.
Okay. And Ryan, are there price differences with where you sit, just as you would in a live setting in the club?
No, it's one admission price. And to be put a little finer point on what you see or in terms of different seating areas, everyone who's watching the show via Fly Machine is seeing the same thing, the same video. The only part that you're curating as a fan yourself is who you want to be surrounded with in sort of the foreground of the live venue. So when you go on and watch a show, there's little bubbles on the screen. You have your camera, just like a Zoom call, and you can see your friends' faces in a little bubble, and you have a little slider that controls if you can hear them talking or you can hear the show, the volume, the mix between the two volumes. So that's the part that you're curating as a viewer. But the show, you're seeing what I'm directing from the five cameras and the lighting and the sound in the club.
And we can also chat?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. That's sweet.
With microphone or with keyboard.
And we don't have to wear pants, do we?
Not at all. Unless you know, just keep your camera focused high enough.
That's good advice. So at the end of a performance, can a virtual audience give feedback? How do you take the feedback?
There's a few ways. The first is that the fans can hang out after the show and keep talking to each other on the platform. And we've even had artists then join these rooms and talk to fans afterwards. You know, it's something where it's obviously up to the fan, the artist, if they'd like to do that, but it's very easy for them to join and, you know, sort of hang out as part of the experience. In addition, I mean, we, after the event, we ask fans, we poll the fans on their experience. We send out a survey, and we get incredible response to this. People really, I mean, one of the quotes around one of the shows we did at Birdland with Coco Peru is, I felt like I had a front row seat, right? So we're getting these great pieces of feedback that, you know, the fans really feel like they saw something special.
Ryan, did you want to add anything to that?
The feedback part has been interesting because it's a lot different experience. It's still a different experience than being in the club in person, but it's different in an interesting and unique way. And sometimes it can be, I don't want to say better, because there's nothing better than sitting next to, you know, a drum kit in a live show. But you can see angles. We have cameras on the stage from a reverse angle. So sometimes you're seeing the artist from the other side that the audience can't see, and the audience is in the background. So we've gotten a lot of feedback that, like Jason just said, that it was something different, something unexpected. And like he said, people have met each other at the shows virtually with their little bubble on the screen and stayed and chatted for a long time afterwards until we have to just shut it down because we're closing our doors in real life.
Right.
It's exciting to see some of that conversation afterwards, where you get fans self-organizing. And so they might form a room from the city they're in. And so other fans from that city will find each other and they make friends. And then you see at the end, they're exchanging their Instagram handles, for example. And now they're following each other, you know, outside in the real world. And, you know, hopefully, you know, community forms from that.
And what's been the general feedback from performers about virtual audiences?
I would say 99% positive feedback from performers. Now, Jason mentioned Miss Coco Peru, who's a I don't know how she likes to be referred to, but a drag artist and you know, well known around the world for that. And she hates cameras. And she was very, very aware of there being cameras in the club at the time that we did it. In fact, we kind of jury-rigged, you know, pieces of tape and stuff to cover the tally lights. So she to minimize that feeling for her. But she said after the show, the feedback she got from her fans was that especially she had a particular very, very close friend and fan in Los Angeles who had, I think, you know, some kind of Crohn's disease, I think, and was really, really unable to leave her apartment for any stretch of time. And so this was the only way she was going to see Miss Coco's new show. And so she was really touched that was possible. And other artists are totally on board with it. They love it. Maria Schneider Orchestra, for example, she's well into the idea of streaming, and she loves the fact that she can reach people all over the world. I think the people from Fly Machine told me that there were more fans from Asia, Japan specifically, for Maria Schneider Orchestra than any other performance that they've produced. So, you know, that's a great thing. And the artists earn extra money, the composers earn extra money, and the club earns extra money. And what can be bad?
And it's, you know, I want to double click on some of the regional things that Ryan was referring to. I mean, this is one of the things we hear all the time from artists and fans alike, is that, you know, if I live in Japan, I can maybe get to New York occasionally, but the ability to live in Japan and watch multiple shows from this club that I love, you know, that's very meaningful to people. And I mean, that show, we had fans from the US, Japan, Canada, Australia, UK, Spain, it goes on and on. And we see that on almost every show. And that's a lot of the feedback we get from the artists, is they're glad that their global fan base can experience a live show, even if they can't be there in person. And then from the fans, we see that every single time we do a survey, or even just watching the chat in the room, people that, whether they can't get their, from a geography standpoint, it's cost prohibitive, whatever the reason is, the babysitter canceled, and so they get to see the show and, you know, still they don't miss it. There's all these reasons why that, you know, we get a lot of really positive feedback.
I should mention, Cheryl, also that Fly Machine is rolling out new features all the time. And we incorporate those as they become available to us. And one of the things, and it's the most requested as far as I'm concerned, is that people be able to watch the show on a replay, you know, for a certain period of time after the live show. And that's coming very soon, later in May. So we're excited about that. And from that point that that becomes available, all of the Birdland shows will be able to be viewed live and on repeat for 72 hours afterward.
Jason, who else is Fly Machine working with in jazz?
I'm trying to think, what are some other good examples there? I mean, in jazz, you know, we have relationships with clubs across the country of you know, every genre. And, you know, I think Birdland is certainly the dominant one where we've really focused in jazz. So, you know, what you're seeing come out of Birdland is really our primary focus there. As you mentioned, the Maria Schneider Orchestra was a great one. Frank Vignola Guitar Night is another one.
On Wednesdays, right.
Yeah. And that's been a great one because, you know, that move from YouTube where it's live with a chat feed of text to now a much more communal and engaging experience with audio and video. And the feedback seems to be really positive there as well.
A lot of regulars for that show, people who tune in every week. But I think that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, you've had other jazz shows, but as far as jazz venues, we're pretty much exclusive at this point.
Correct.
Not correct. To say you couldn't add more in the future, but it's, you know, the platform is still technically in beta. So even though there are dozens of venues around the country, each venue represents a different style of music.
Correct.
Ryan, for those of us returning to New York City in the coming months and looking forward to live music once again, what has changed at Birdland Jazz Club and Theater that we need to know about pre-pandemic?
You know, that's an evolving answer, because right now I would say that it feels pretty much the same as it did before. In fact, I'll say hesitantly that it's been busier so far in 2022 than it was in 2019, which was our biggest year in business prior to the pandemic. So, and I don't know exactly. I mean, we survey people to some extent where they're coming from, but we don't take, you know, detailed information from everyone. But my question is, where are they coming from? I don't know. I don't think they're coming from Europe and Asia as much because there are still travel restrictions. But I think because it's still somewhat risky for Americans to travel abroad, that we're getting a lot of tourists from different parts of the United States. You know, I've heard stories from friends where they travel to France, say, for spring break, and one of their kids tests positive. So one of the parents and the kid has to stay together in France at their own expense longer than they anticipated. Like that's a tough thing to deal with. So whereas you can travel to New York and have, you know, few to no restrictions and pretty much experience life the way it was. Now, I know when you go to a Broadway show, you still, they're requiring masks and checking your vaccine cards, and that's all fine. So that feels a little different. I've been to a couple Broadway shows myself, and it's definitely, I would have to say, slightly less enjoyable. But, you know, at Birdland, we have been checking the vaccine cards up until just very recently when the city lifted those restrictions. So now we just advise people to do what makes them comfortable, which could mean stay home or come to the show and wear a mask or not. But I think that it's there have been very, 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 very few problems. The last, you know, staff member, for example, who got COVID is months behind us at this point.
But pants are still in place.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
What is it with me in pants? I don't know.
You're just used to that Zoom life.
That's yep. Right. So, gentlemen, we are coming to the end of this interview, and I want to give you both the last word. Is there a question I haven't asked that you know, like to answer? Is there some information that you'd like to put out there for all of us to know? Jason, we'll start with you.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, what I really want to highlight here is the appreciation that we have of Birdland working with us on this platform. I mean, they have been incredible in testing features, you know, really leaning in, making great productions. You know, as Ryan said, we're releasing features all the time. We're still, you know, coming out of beta and really firming up the platform. And, you know, in addition to the genres and the artists they feature that are innovative and progressive, I think the club and the producers and the team there really take an innovative approach to how they get these shows out to the world. You know, they seem to believe in the product, and you know, we've really enjoyed the partnership, and we're excited to see, you know, where we can take it from here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And I would say, you know, I would say for people who are not sure if this is the right thing for them, just give it a shot. Our lowest price show is $5. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty small risk. I mean, I see people lined up at Starbucks every day, and you know, they're spending more than that for a cup of coffee. So this, you're getting a world-class artist from the jazz corner of the world, Birdland. And I would say, if you're not sure, give it a shot and see how you like it. I think you're going to find that it's something a little different. And if you think that watching a streaming show is sitting in front of your laptop with, you know, in kind of a less than ideal environment, give it a shot, because you can interact with people. You're seeing an audio video production from Birdland that's, I think, far beyond what other venues are producing. And I think you'll like it. So go to birdlandjazz.com, sign up for our email list, and we'll tell you about all the new upcoming productions. At flymachine.com, you can see all the upcoming shows from venues around the world, or around the country, excuse me. It's not global yet.
But it's work. It's getting there.
Yep, I hope so.
For more information, birdlandjazz.com and flymachine.com. And now for one more set of music. Originally a 1968 release for Blue Note Records, released on Real Gone Music in 2018, Extra Soul Perception by R&B and soul saxophonist Monk Higgins. From it we heard The Look of Slim. Transcending genres, Grammy-winning saxophonist and composer Jeff Coffin, from his Ear Up release Between Dreaming and Joy, due out on August 26, the tune In the Belly of the Whale. And we started off with Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based bassist and composer Alex Lacusta with E3. We heard Flicker from his 2022 self-release, Transit Slow. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or info@wgxc.org. We appreciate your feedback. Feedback@wgxc.org or leave a 3-minute message at area code 518-291-WGXC. Thank you.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.